The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night. Welcome one and all to Monday, Football Monday here on the SB Nation NFL Show. A reminder before we keep going that this show is brought to you by our friends at DraftKings. DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code SBNFL for a special offer when you sign up. That is code SBNFL only at DraftKings Sportsbook. As mentioned, this is the SB Nation NFL Show. You can listen to us wherever you get your podcasts, Apple devices, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, whatever the case, search for the SB Nation NFL Show. Subscribe, leave a rating, write a review. Those things make our hearts soar. You can also watch us on the SB Nation NFL YouTube channel, or you can listen. Just open a window in your house, and I'm sure that you will hear our delicate voices somehow, some way. I say our voices, Rachelle Prevett, the fantastic Rachelle Prevett on the ones and twos. As always, my name is RJ Ochoa. My co-pilot for this flight this particular morning, this Monday, May 22nd, is Jeremy Reisman from SB Nation's Pride of Detroit. Jeremy, are you a window or aisle seat person when you take a flight?
Very, very much a window person. I don't get up to go to the bathroom, and so I don't want to get up to go to the bathroom for anyone else. And I like to lean against the side of the plane there. So big
window.
It's
pretty bold to say you don't get up to go to the bathroom. Like, I don't want, this isn't like a health podcast or anything, but like, what if we're flying like across the country? You know what I mean? Like,
well, like I can change my opinion in that situation, but I'm an adult. I know how to prepare for long flights in ways that probably don't have to go to the bathroom.
I mean, look, again, that's just a really kind of bold thing to say. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's nothing like that anxiety, by the way, when you're like, I'm going to have to ask them, you know, like that is a horrible, horrible feeling. I'm getting set to take a flight with my 1.5-year-old son by myself. And I was trying to explain to my wife, like, this is good. Like, maybe we should consider booking the flight with points, not to, you know, pull the kimono all the way back. And I was like, maybe we should get like a second seat next to me to give me like the buffer room. And she was like, you'll be fine. And I was like, what if somebody has to get up? Like, you know, this is a big process, like to have to kind of deal with this all by myself. So there was no pity for me there. I doubt there's any pity for me here. Do you have any pity?
I don't have a child, so I can't say that I empathize you. I don't necessarily sympathize.
Empathy, kind of a low stock thing. We should put empathy back into the fold. There is a lot of empathy with our first subject. I think, in fact, there's really empathy and sympathy with how we feel about the NFL. Let's go ahead and dive into it. We're going to do this, and then we're going to talk about new faces, whether we think they're going to succeed or fail. It was your idea to include failure, Jeremy, so maybe you're feeling a little bit negative this morning. But the owners' meetings are happening this week in Minneapolis. Why is Minneapolis the home for this? Do you know?
Because it's probably the one time a year that Minneapolis is inhabitable.
I mean, that's true, but I mean, like, you know, we normally, you know, like Indianapolis is a kind of a mecca, you know, for the NFL. It's a Midwest part of the country, makes sense, et cetera, et cetera. Phoenix makes sense, right? Like, you know, the weather's right. Like, what does Minneapolis have right now that like they have to be there specifically?
It's a good question. I don't really have a good Juicy Lucy's. I don't know.
They're not good. You know what the worst part about a Juicy Lucy is? And for anyone who doesn't know, it's an inverted hamburger. They put the cheese inside of the bun or the meat, excuse me. You have to wait for it to cool. Like that's an underrated thing, because like if you take a bite, the cheese is like scalding hot and it'll burn your tongue.
Right. It's a covert hot pocket, right. Essentially what it is. Yeah.
Don't know why Minneapolis is the place where they are at. Maybe they are having Juicy Lucy's for lunch. There are a few things that they're set to discuss, but Jeremy, the most notable one, we've kind of gotten all that we can out of the schedule being released from a content creation standpoint. But here we are. This is the burnt end that we're just kind of nibbling on. Now, the NFL was firm in telling us when they released the schedule now a week and a half ago, all the weeks that are obviously eligible for Sunday Night Football flex scheduling, that's not a new thing. This year, Monday Night Football games, I believe starting week 15, are eligible to be flexed around and things like that. So we'll see how that ultimately, you know, shapes out. And there's a huge argument towards flexing or against flexing Monday Night games, because if your team gets flexed, like, you know, imagine the Lions are playing the Packers the week after they get flexed into Monday Night Football. That stinks, right? Now, all of a sudden, you have a short week to kind of work with. Well, Jeremy, Thursday Night Football. I don't know if you know this. What was the last thing you ordered on Amazon? Let's get real personal.
Let's see. Ooh, that's a good question. You know what? I'll take a different route to that question, even though this isn't what you asked me. Someone ordered this for me.
Kill Switch
on Amazon. It's Kill Switch, a Steven Seagal movie that no one has heard of and that does not even have enough ratings on Rotten Tomatoes to warrant
the fact that you had that like within arm's reach is really impressive.
I just keep looking at him like, am I actually going to watch this one or not? That,
just for the podcast audience, Jeremy held up a DVD. I can't tell you the last movie I watched, like the last physical movie I watched.
On a DVD?
Yeah. So interesting. But either way, Amazon's obviously the sponsor for Thursday Night Football, the home of Thursday Night Football. This is their second year with the package. And unlike Monday Night Football, which took over, ESPN did in 2006, it took them, 17 years to finally get flex scheduling. Amazon's paying, I don't even know, ungodly amount of money. So they're allowed to induce flex scheduling in their second season with the package. So that is what is one of the things that the NFL owners will be voting on as the owners' meetings happen, Jeremy. Tweet from a friend of Blogging the Boys, Jory Epstein, over at Yahoo Sports. Her tweet exactly reads, among the issues at vote today, flexing Thursday Night Football, the vote failed in March, which we knew, but now a tweak. Instead of 15 days minimum notice for a flex, resolution now requires 28 days heads up. So you can, if this vote passes, be flexed into Thursday Night Football with a month's notice. Now, Jory added a few particulars. I don't know if you saw this after I sent you the tweet. Like with Sunday Night Football flexes, there are restrictions. A max of 2 Thursday Night Football flexes per season. So this can actually happen to you twice in a given season. The only options are in weeks 13 through 17. So this can happen to you twice within a 5-week period, which is kind of crazy to sort of consider. Let's see here. John Mara of the New York Giants and Art Rooney of the Pittsburgh Steelers. They have the obviously familial connection, Rooney Mara, blah, blah, blah. They were not fans of this. I have a thought on that, but we'll get there. 24 of 32 votes necessary. Your thoughts, Jeremy Rice?
It's ridiculous. We don't need this much flexing. We don't. Like, listen, there are going to be bad games on primetime. It's not the end of the world. People still will watch football. These horrible games that we all complain about on Twitter, they're just people complaining on Twitter. People are still watching them. It's a bunch of noise, and it's all about trying to make the NFL an absolute perfect product, which is just never going to happen, especially if you have to do it a month out. Like, if you have to do it a month out, what happens if the quarterback gets injured the week before they're ready for primetime Thursday Night Football? Then you're stuck with a stinker anyways. Like, there's just this idea of creating a perfect primetime schedule is never going to happen and does more harm to the game than good, because especially with Thursday Night Football, like, even when you put good teams on Thursday Night Football, you sometimes get a really bad product because they are coming off such a short week. So this is just more inconvenience to fans, more inconvenience to players for diminishing returns on TV. So I think it's just stupid, ridiculous, dumb. Please don't pass this.
I agree with you. This is going to pass, right? Like, if we both had to bet, I don't know that our friends at DraftKings Sportsbook have odds on this or not, but if they do, I'm certainly betting on this to happen. We could explore several tentacles that you sort of mentioned, but like, they all like sort of point in the same direction. Like, you can't, you could be the most ardent football fan or supporter or analyst or whatever. You cannot tell me what the best game is a month from now. You just can't. Like, it's impossible. Like, you know what I mean? Like, every, like, obviously you have your, like, oh, well, the Chiefs and Bills play in a month, and, like, you have your kind of chalk things, but, you know, there are certain games that are going to be protected, right? So, like, the creme de la creme is going to be unavailable for Amazon to pick from. So, like, you're going to tell me, like, no offense when I ask this question, but have the Lions ever been flexed out of primetime to your, off the top of your head?
Oh man, actually off the top of my head, I don't recall a time, but it certainly wouldn't have surprised me if it's happened in the past.
So the Cowboys, I can tell you, have been flexed out one time since Sunday Night Football moved to NBC in 2006, and it was 3 years ago, and it was that 2020 season when Dak was hurt and obviously things were really bad, and they were hosting the 49ers on Sunday Night Football. Imagine that, by the way, like NBC being like, Cowboys, no, Niners, we're good. But the Niners were beat up that year a lot as well. So NBC bailed on Cowboys Niners at AT&T Stadium. What would you guess? Just if you had to guess the two teams that replaced them on Sunday Night Football.
I don't know, like Steelers, Bengals.
You are wrong. But you did guess the AFC North. It was the Giants in Cleveland. Wow. That replaced them. Like you could have never predicted that. You know what I mean? Like a month before that. And that's my point. Like, you will never, ever, ever be able to say, like, this looks whatever. Because Amazon has already been given, theoretically, like, some of the better games in that respective week, right, for their Thursday Night Football schedule. So, like, I'm with you. This is just tweaking. And you're right. Like, so I don't think you can do our jobs if you aren't obsessed with football. What was the last Thursday Night Football game you didn't watch any piece of? Did that happen at all last year?
I think I watched every single one.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. Like, no matter what, we're tuned in to some degree. Like, even if you're running an errand, you're catching the first half, the second half, you're monitoring it, whatever. Like, there is never a Thursday Night Football game, to focus on this window specifically, where you are just completely and totally checked out. Never. It never, ever, ever happens. So again, like, do you think, like, NFL, do you think more people are going to watch? Like, you already have everyone. Like you have the whole world. Like, this is not going to add to the pie that they already take everything from.
And to me, like, it's also taking away from the schedule drop as an event, which is already a flawed event for several reasons. Part of it, just the fact that it's all leaking before you announce it at 8 p.m. anyways. But if you're just going to make the schedule this malleable, why is anyone going to care about the schedule drop? Like, the whole idea is the people that maybe go on these road trips are starting to plan their trips. Teams are starting, you know, fans are starting to build their, you know, record and scream about primetime games. If everything's so changeable, you're going to ruin these people that are buying plane tickets already, buying single game tickets already. You're going to piss off people later in the season when it's like, oh, you gave us four primetime games and actually turned out to be one. Like, it's making a mockery out of its own system. And like we've been saying, there's diminishing returns here, where you're trying to perfect a schedule that you're just never going to perfect, and that is just doing just fine. Like, Thursday night ratings are fine, right? I don't think Amazon has any buyer's remorse at this point, other than the fact that, I don't know, maybe they're a little nervous that live events are going to mess up thanks to the NBA playoffs getting screwed up on YouTube TV. So I don't know.
That would be a separate issue from Amazon, though, right? Like, that's just the technical side of things. And to that point, it was game three of the Eastern Conference. No, game two. I'm sorry. Game two. It might have been game one, actually, at this point, because game three was Sunday night. So whatever. One of the games of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Heat and the Celtics, YouTube TV subscribers lost it, like, in the fourth quarter, right? Yeah. Not that this has been a close series, but like completely and totally just lost service. I think there was, correct me if I'm wrong, an ad for the Little Mermaid movie coming out that was like stuck on loop or something. And so, like, all these people were like, oh, well, the Sunday tickets heading to YouTube, you know, TV this year. Like, what's going to happen? And, like, look, I this isn't an ad. I'm a Fubo customer, and I will preach their name all day long. I love Fubo, but that's a thing you got to worry about. But I mean, that's the world. Like, you know, if you're like worried about streaming, the NFL just put, they announced this last week, a playoff game on Peacock. Right. So for anyone who's unaware, I know this is all confusing, but Sunday Night Football is on NBC. It is also accessible on Peacock, just the same exact, you know, stream feed, whatever. This wild card game is exclusively going to be on Peacock. So Jeremy, we have a Thursday Night Football game almost every week of the regular season and a playoff game. Those are exclusively streamed games, not also accessible on streaming platforms, exclusively. Right. Like, this is the world. The YouTube thing to me was not a big deal. It's just the world.
Yeah, there is a minor exception. Like, local markets are going to have them on TV for these exclusive games too.
Sure, sure, sure.
But yeah, I mean, it's a venture into a kind of uncharted territory here, and as we saw with YouTube TV, like there are some real hurdles to be jumped here and real pitfalls that could come here. Not to say like cable doesn't ever go out in local markets, or you know, sometimes you hear stories of like certain outlets accidentally cutting to, you know, the 7 o'clock news in the fourth quarter of a game, things like that. But I don't know. I'd be a little bit nervous if I were both Peacock and NFL fans. I think it's a dangerous line to walk here. And I think it's also kind of leaving out a generation of fans, right? Like they're going to be 60 plus year old guys and women that are just like, I don't know what Peacock is. I don't know how to get it on my TV. I don't know how to get it on my phone. What am I doing here? I just want to watch this football game like I would have any other year. And I mean, I guess the NFL is just saying to those fans, get with the times. And that maybe that's the cruel reality that we live in these days. But man, I don't know. It seems like kind of a harsh thing to do for, again, not money, I guess.
I mean, I don't know what podcast it would be like. We're not here to discuss like the modern advances in technology, but like that is like a thing. Like, would you rather lose your wallet or your phone?
Well,
rather lose your wallet, yeah. Right? Like, it's far easier to replace like the things that like a lot like does and accomplishes in your life. Like, that's just like the world. But back to this flex scheduling thing. So I was about to say, or I did say actually, that Amazon already got like some solid games. So this proposal would only apply for weeks 13 through 17. Obviously, because there's no Thursday night football game in week 18. Now that I look at it, they're their games that those weeks are kind of stinkers. I don't know if you've looked at this. So they start off strong. Amazon does. Starting week 13. That is actually the Thursday after Thanksgiving. So it's Thursday night football, November 30th. The Cowboys host the Seahawks. Two playoff teams from a year ago. You got the Cowboys involved 7 days after Thanksgiving. You know, that's kind of a big time of year, whatever. But after that, you've got the Patriots in Pittsburgh. Kind of right now. Like, certainly sounds it. Then you have the Chargers in Vegas. And I don't care how much mainstream NFL media is trying to push the Chargers down my throat, I'm not buying it. Then you've got the Saints in LA playing the Rams.
Oh boy. Like,
that is And then you've got the Jets in Cleveland, which was an amazing Thursday night football game once upon a time. The Baker Mayfield introduction, the Bud Light, whatever that was, like the chains coming off and free beers for everybody. So again, Cowboys Seahawks is not moving, I feel pretty confident in saying, but these other games do kind of stink. Like, so it makes sense that Amazon's like, yo, we do not want to be stuck with the Saints playing the Rams on Thursday night football in late
December. It's kind of a catch 22 though, right? Because obviously you're getting down to the end of the season here where you want like the most impactful, most, you know, playoff contingent games on your schedule. But at the same time, do you really want to disrupt those bubble playoff teams like that? Like, that, if I'm a bubble team that really needs a win in week 16, I'm going to absolutely hate getting forced to play on a short week like that. You're ruining the product at that point, right? Like, I think maybe a punishment should for being such a crappy team, not the Jets are going to be a crappy team necessarily, but like that Jets Browns matchup, like, okay, fine. That might not disrupt the league in a way that I want it to disrupt. And I don't know, maybe it's my obsession with like fairness in the league. Maybe it's just, I want a good product with good teams. So forcing these teams that are fighting for their playoff lives to play in a short week, just because you think it's going to bump the ratings up 0.3 points, seems like a thing that's overall bad for football.
I also think, I mean, some of this is like, you've got to play the games, whatever, but it can be really unfair to more than just the teams involved. Sure. So like, let's use the Lions as an example, right? Just for the purposes of the fact that you're here and the fact that you're awesome. Not the fact that the Lions are really kind of like, this is overkill.
Sneaky team. Like, I
understand.
It.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway. So the Lions beginning of week 13 are in New Orleans, but let's look at week 14. The Lions are in Chicago. Say the Lions deliver on the hype, say the Bears kind of show up, whatever. The NFL says, we do not want this Patriots Steelers game on Thursday Night Football. We're going to flex, obviously, the Lions in Chicago to Thursday Night Football, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, great. Well, now the Broncos just got screwed, right? The Broncos are the Lions' next opponent. So now you're giving the Lions a week and a half of an advantage as opposed to a week. And similarly with the Bears, who did the Bears play after that? The Browns. So, like, say the Browns or the Broncos are in their own playoff chase. I recognize these are opposing conferences, but, like, now the team that they're going to play suddenly has the mini bye, like a mini bye to kind of work with. And even then, if you look beyond that, like, let's use the Patriots as an example. If they got it bumped out of this Thursday Night Football window, well, now they don't have that mini bye. The week after the Steelers, they play the Chiefs. So now the Chiefs don't have to play the Patriots coming off the mini bye. They get the Patriots coming off of a normal week. So you really are attacking fairness. Like, the fairness thing isn't equally applied, which is stupid and maddening. Yeah. Like, you know, there are teams who get, you know, for, you know, big and small rest advantages and disadvantages, but this should not be like this. Like, for, to your point, for the sake of, like, microscopic ratings advantages, when you are already killing every single sport and every other program on television.
And I think that's kind of our overall takeaway. It was our overall takeaway just when we were talking about the schedule beforehand, like making it so that more than, you know, you can have more than one Thursday night football game or one short rest week. Is not an effort to make the game fair in any way. It's an effort to make it more popular and to earn more money. And I'm not saying that the NFL needs to be a charity, but, like, again, you are worsening your own product. And at some point you have to think that's going to catch up with people. At some people are going to be like, I'm sick of watching so-and-so team on primetime. I'm sick of watching, you know, Patrick Mahomes have to play on a short week. And I'm not seeing the best Patrick Mahomes that I've seen over the past 3-4 years. I feel like at some point that's going to catch up. I know we just said that we are all in on Thursday night games, no matter what. And maybe that is true. Maybe this is a grave of our own digging here, but at the same time, it's just like, you're going to get yourself into trouble if you're just continually trying to chase this dragon of the best possible schedule and primetime game schedule possible, because you're diluting the product. You're especially with Thursday Night Football. I'm so sick of Thursday Night Football. At this point, I almost wish it would just go away in entirety.
I also think, I mean, I have a lot of thoughts here. This, why this is such a, I wouldn't say fun, but interesting subject to discuss, because it's fun when there are people like us that are just, like, obsessive about these things, right? Like, so I think it's important to set that, like, this is basically the month of December. I know the first Thursday Night Football game in question is November 30th, but this is basically the month of December, because it only runs through week 17. So that is important for a number of reasons, because, like, you have to, like, do your Christmas shopping and you have to live your life, right? Like, you know, so that's an important thing to recognize that, yes, these are five Thursdays, but, like, you know, I don't know. My takeaway from this, and we talked about this whenever it was last week, when we talked about, like, movies and stuff and, like, how often do you go to the movie theater or whatever. Right. Like, if I have to have, like, a hard take, and I don't even really, like, believe this, but I'm like starting to at least, like, open this book. You know what I mean? That is this take. I think the NFL is starting to care less about, like, the gate, like, the tickets, right? Like, there will always be people locally who go to NFL games, but, like, what matters now is television and people watching it. Like, one of the most, I love, and I know you do too, when the football world gets to enjoy a football game on Twitter together. And that can be either an amazing game or a terrible game. Like, one of my favorite memories last year was that Broncos Colts Thursday night football game, because it was so much fun on the internet. And so, I mean, like, was I at that game? Were you at that game? No, but it was amazing. You know what I mean? Because we were watching it and experiencing in real time, like, with everyone on the internet. And I think that's what the NFL cares about at this point in time. How are people, like, we need people to watch it. We need people to talk about it. We need people to talk about it the next day. We need all the podcasts to talk about it, all the articles to be written about it. Like, that's, like, they have perfected that. And you're right. We have dug this grave as, like, content creators and fans or whatever. But that's my takeaway, is, like, they know they will sell tickets locally always, but they're attacking the TV audience, because that's, I mean, like, how many people go to an NFL game on average? Like, 70, 80,000 versus, like, how many people watch it? You know what I mean? Like, that is a drop in the bucket, the, like, in crowd.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, in terms of money that they make off the league, ticket sales and concessions is just a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of the pie, right? All this stuff that's moving the salary cap, all the stuff that's giving, you know, paying the player's salary, TV deals, it's all that. So, yeah. From a business standpoint, of course, it makes sense to kind of tally, to shift your, I guess, identity in that direction. But you brought up December, and I want to go back to that really quick, because when you're changing people's schedules in December,
that's what I was going to get.
You're also going to change flights in bad weather, and that's going to be an absolute disaster for a lot of people, and for, you know, for writers, for broadcasting people, for fans that are trying to make those road trips in cold weather stadiums, like that has a chance to be a real, real nightmare. And so I'm actually a little bit surprised, because usually, I mean, early flexing was like just the middle of the schedule, right? Like, we don't want to mess with the end. We don't want to mess with the beginning. We're just going to allow you to flex right in the middle. Now it's kind of just, it's shifting towards the back end of that schedule. And I'm not sure that's going to work so well logistically.
I've never asked you this. Have you ever been to a Road Lions game?
Oh, yeah.
At any point in
your life? Yeah, I lived in L.A. for 9 years. So I went to Seattle. I went to Oakland. I went to L.A. I went to Arizona a couple times. I love going to road games. It's a fun, unique experience.
So prior to COVID, my dad and I would go to a Road Cowboys game every year. We went to Chicago. We went to Green Bay. We went to Oakland as well. We went to Pittsburgh, went to Indianapolis, went to Atlanta and New England. And you're right. Like, it's not just flights. It's rental cars. It's hotels. Mm-hmm. It's dinner reservations. And not even that. Like, something we have liked to do is go to Thursday night games, because then you kind of have the weekend in the city that you're visiting, right? And so, like, I don't know. You have... I mean, again, like when we went and saw the Cowboys play New England, we went and saw a Bruins game, right? So like that, like, again, like those tickets get compromised. Like, you're going to go see, we were talking about musicals, like, you, like, again, like your whole like sequence of events that you're planning on doing, whatever, gets completely thwarted and crushed. And now you, the fan, have to pay probably a lot more money to move things around. Like you said, not just in a month, on a month's notice, which is not cheap, but within holiday season, you know what I mean? Like, that's impossible. Like, it truly is impossible. And I feel for you and I, if the NFL schedules a really good game on Thursday Night Football, like, if we're going to watch it from our TV or couches at home, like, cool. Like, you and I, our lives aren't negatively impacted one way or another, but that stinks, just because that's the vast majority of people. Like, there are a lot of people who are going to be really impacted by this. And so, as much as it hurts me to say, I really commend John Mara and in the Rooney family for, you know, sticking up for them, because like, that's like, and I don't know that I think if the NFL loses those people that like it's doomed forever, because the NFL seems like it's just invincible. Yeah. You know what I mean? But this just, it stinks.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say, I don't think this passes, but I think it's only, I think it's an inevitable that it will eventually. Like, I think this is like their first, Amazon took the shot this year. They're like, hey, let's flex this year. And people, I think they'll just be like, wait a year. Like you said, it took Monday Night Football like 2 decades to get to where they are now. I think maybe they're going to say, hey, wait your turn.
I disagree with you, dude. They're spending over $1 billion. And the fact that they were able to, it takes them like a year to do the Deflategate report, whatever. But like, it took them 2 months to be like, well, okay, we'll just amend the proposal. Right. You know what I mean? Like it's, what do we have to do? And they were close. I think they had 22 of the necessary 24 votes when they voted in March.
I didn't know that.
And so, I mean, they know that like if and when it comes to pass this week, that like 48 hours on the internet will not be kind to them, but that it will pass and then everyone will ultimately watch anyway. And that just is an unfortunate reality.
That's fair.
Wow. Do we have any other takeaways from this? We got a lot out of this.
I am interested though in like the another rule change that I think they tabled in the first meeting was the third quarterback rule, where
the San Francisco
49ers, right? Which I think the Lions were actually the team to propose. That one's going to be coming back up. And I think a lot of it was just like logistics. Who can be that third emergency quarterback? Does he have to be on your 53? Can he be on your practice squad? But that's one that I think would be overall better for the game and very easy to implement, I would think. No brainer.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, what was the addendum that they established a few years ago? I think it was with the new CBA 2 years ago or 3 years ago at this point. It was like of your 46 man active game day roster, you can actually have up to 48 as long as one is an offensive lineman. And I forget the other
distinction,
but like those are common sense things. Like, I think we're all a fan of those.
So just something to look out for. I think that's one that could actually have a pretty decent impact on the season. Should someone run into a 49ers like situation again?
Wow. Hendon Hooker is going to come in and save the Lions after they've been flexed into Like, that's what's going to happen, by the way, is they're going to make a big old deal about this. They're going to flex the game a month in advance, and then it's going to be a dud.
Right.
You know what I mean? And like, and the game they flexed out of is going to like rock. Like, it's, that would be hilarious.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Okay, what is the other thing that we're going to do? This was your idea, Jeremy, so set the table and let's do it.
Yeah, well, I mean, now that essentially the offseason is pretty much over for teams in terms of roster manipulation, things like that.
This is the true, like, off
season.
Like, these are the doldrums.
Right, exactly. And so now I think it's a good time to, like, reflect on where some of these big new faces are in new places and kind of discuss whether they're in a place to maybe improve upon how their career, or maybe they landed in an awkward landing spot where either, you know, maybe they don't fit the scheme, maybe they don't have the surrounding help that they had in their previous destination. So we're going to go with players who found a best new home, players who may have landed in the worst possible home for them.
Ooh, I kind of like this. We each do one positive, one negative.
Sure.
I like that.
Yeah, let's do that.
Do you want to go first? Should I go first? Like, what do you want to do?
You know, I'm going to let you go first. I want to see your interpretation of my question.
I'm going to start negative.
Okay.
Well, I mean, because we were just kind of like in a dark place. You know what I mean? It's like, it's hard to like leave there, you know, and just like flip the switch.
Yeah.
And I'm also going to cheat a little bit. And I'm also going to be incredibly biased and Homer.
This is a lot of setting up for.
Right.
All right.
Here we go. I'm going to go with Kellen Moore, new offensive coordinator of the Los Angeles Chargers.
Sure.
Former favorite son of Scott Linehan, which you know well.
Yeah.
And I know well. Here's my thing, and that, it really is nothing. I actually was not really for the Cowboys moving on from Kellen Moore.
Mm-hmm.
However, I understand that like a change was necessary. I like that they're kind of making Dak Prescott a little bit uncomfortable. You know what I mean? Like, it's been long enough. Let's kind of rattle that cage a little bit. That's a separate subject. But okay, Kellen is still incredibly young, super young, right? Like ridiculously young. Like has a long football future in front of him, whatever that winds up being if he does go back to Boise State. I don't know if you've ever met those commenters, but they are.
The Lions drafted Kellen Moore, if you don't remember.
Draft him. He was an undrafted king. But still, the Boise State Kellen stands are
I can't believe they're still kicking.
Bunch. Right. But anyway, so whatever Kellen's future is, he has a long one in front of him.
Yeah.
That being said, obviously, if you're a top-tier coordinator in the NFL, whether offensively or defensively, you want to put yourself in a position that can vault you to becoming a head coach in the NFL, right? Like, that makes sense. I just don't know why I see two sides. Like, oh, I'm going to connect myself to Justin Herbert. That makes a lot of sense, right? But why would you connect yourself to Brandon Staley? Like, I kind of recognize you can kind of run the offense in LA. Like, you know, Brandon Staley has no real involvement there. But the Chargers are just kind of a sinking ship to me. I don't really feel enthralled by that. So, like, I feel like Kellen didn't have a lot of options because of, like, the way things happened. I don't know if you recall, they dismissed him literally, like, 5 minutes after the Eagles won the NFC. So it was just a weird time. But Kellen Moore in LA just doesn't do it for me.
I don't know. I don't hate it. And part of it, I think there is an addition by subtraction in LA happening with Joe Lombardi, right?
That's fair.
That was a disaster there for certain. And I don't know. I kind of like pairing a young offensive coordinator with a young quarterback. And in an ideal world, yeah, you're bringing in a veteran, a proven offensive coordinator to get Justin Herbert back on track. But I think those two are really going to be a little bit more simpatico, maybe because of age, maybe because of other things. But I don't know. I always respected Kellen Moore as an offensive mind, even when he was a, you know, a third string quarterback in Detroit. It was very clear that he was headed on the kind of coaching pathway. So, I'm not going to be here and tell you that I think that the Chargers are going to be a surprise team. I'm kind of with you that I'm not that high on them, but you never really know with these quarterback pairings with an offensive coordinator, how that's going to go. And also I'm also not as down on Brandon Staley as I think a lot of people are. I think he stabbed the analytics community in the back last year after they all came to bat for him. But I think he is a very smart defensive coach, and I think they have enough talent on the defensive side of the ball. So they're going to be a competitive team. I don't think they're going to like challenge Kansas City for the division or anything like that. But I don't think it's the worst landing spot for him, but I can see why you say maybe this isn't the ideal landing spot for Kellen Moore.
The math is just strange. Like I'm not denying that like the net result is positive, but it's like, it's one of those like ridiculous math equations that has like all sorts of variables and parentheses or whatever. And then like the final answer is like a single digit. It's just kind of like an underwhelming thing to me.
That's fair.
But you know, whatever. Okay. So positive or negative, what do you want to do here?
Let's knock out all the negatives so we can end this thing on a positive.
Aaron Rodgers.
No, My answer is Juju Smith-Schuster to the Patriots, because, ooh, and I want to preface this with saying, if this move had happened 5 years ago, like they had gotten this, you know, former big star wide receiver on the team, everyone would be like, oh my God, the Patriots did it again. The Patriots did it again. We're past that era at this point. This is more like, you just went from the Chiefs to the Patriots. That's a tremendous downgrade, especially considering where this Patriots offense was last year. And I understand they overthrew the you know, the entire offensive coaching staff, and maybe things get back on track. But I look at that supporting cast. You got a 30-year-old Devontae Parker, Hunter Henry, Mike Gesicki. I mean, you don't have anyone really to detract attention away from you. You have Mac Jones, who is maybe on his last leg in New England. Like, there were all those rumblings that maybe they're ready to move on from Mac Jones. I think Juju Smith-Schuster couldn't have maybe gone to a worse place for him. And I don't know what the future is for him right now.
It really is amazing the coaches that Juju has played for. Mike Tomlin, Andy Reid, Bill Belichick.
Right.
Like, right. You know, and given like who he is as a personality, the TikTok stuff and all that, like, doesn't bother me. I recognize that if you're a fan of the team he plays for and the team is losing and he's not performing well, it becomes like, you know, an easy thing for you to attack or whatever. But I'm fine with like him showing his personality, whatever. But yeah, like, what was the last, like, you know, I think we were all, Juju was such a weird case because we didn't know what to make of him, obviously. And then Antonio Brown like hated on him for like asking him for help when he was in college. And that was really strange. Like again, Juju's just had like a really unique NFL career. And I don't know that we've ever like really believed that he's like an amazing wide receiver. Like, have you ever been like, wow, I really have to have Juju on my fantasy team? Or like, I'm really afraid of Juju when the Lions are playing. I'm like, he's just kind of like, he's, are you a Scrubs fan?
I was up to a point.
Do you remember, like, he's like what I loved about Scrubs was like all the secondary characters were important. Like, they weren't as important, obviously, as like the foundational main characters, but like they had their important roles. So I feel like that's who Juju is. He's like a really important secondary character.
Right. And there's no primary, right? There's no anywhere in that Patriots offense. Like, that's an offense that maybe it's going to get on the right track eventually, but it's going to be years down the line. And I just don't see Juju being a part of that, right? Like, and he seems to be the kind of that guy that is going to perpetually jump from team to team to team to team because he can't be that star guy. And maybe that's what he wants. So I don't know, just for him to like, you know, end the season talking all that trash on Twitter and going then to a Patriots team that, I don't know, like, I think they're what? Where would you put them in the division right now? Third or fourth?
They're last.
They're like, yeah. So it's just, I don't know. It seems like I think he got a decent deal. So good for him, you know, getting paid. But in terms of opportunity, in terms of supporting cast, in terms of team opportunity, I think this is maybe one of the worst places he could have gone.
I'm going to play a game looking at AFC quarterbacks, and you tell me, we're obviously going to skip the obvious ones, but you tell me whether Mac Jones is better or worse than this player. Starting quarterbacks, obviously.
Sure.
Or who would you rather have, I guess, Mac Jones or whoever? Jimmy Garoppolo. Okay. I mean, Anthony Richardson and CJ Stroud. I think you take the upside, right?
Sure.
Like on the rookies.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever amalgamation Tennessee produces between Ryan Tannehill and Will Levis, I guess. I think, again, you would take the upside of Levis at this point.
Maybe. I might take Mac Jones in that situation, okay, but like that's so, probably it. Throw Kenny Pickett. I'd take Kenny Pickett.
Deshaun Watson is a, you know, nobody's lining up. Like, by all accounts, Mac Jones is not I know people feel like he's arrogant and things like that, but he's not a bad person.
Right.
At least, but there's no like supreme evidence of that I'm aware of. If there is evidence, obviously, I retract that. But so Deshaun Watson's a unique thing. You're taking Kenny Pickett and Tua. Tua would be the only other one.
Right. And I'd still take Tua.
So like there's a strong argument to be made that like if we're just talking football, that they have the worst quarterback situation in the entire conference. And even then, like, would you rather take Mac Jones or Daniel Jones?
Oh man. That one's actually tough because of the contract but yeah. Point is made here. Yeah.
Yeah, look, Juju got paid to go live in Boston. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
Not a hard thing. You know what I mean? But I agree. Like, this didn't make sense for anyone. So, you know, Juju helped the Chiefs win a Super Bowl, drew the holding penalty. You know what I mean? Like, so good for him. But yeah, this was a good pick on your part. So
thank you.
Well done. I congratulate you. I guess we have to pick positive ones now.
Sure.
I think I'm ready to go. I think, but mine's going to upset you in a way.
All right.
Well, he apparently did not want to go to Detroit, according to Micah Parsons.
and, he was on my list here. So I support your choice here.
Jalen Ramsey. I'm still not ready to believe in the Dolphins. I'm fine like being late to this party. You know, there are parties that I want to be early to. I want to be one of the first ones to arrive.
Yeah,
I'm super fine being late to the Dolphins thing. Like, there's a lot there. There's a little bit of proof of concept. I need to see more of it.
Yeah.
I think we believe in the offense, but if you can add Jalen Ramsey to the secondary, and you already have an advantage of getting to play Mac Jones twice a year. I mean, like this is a strong move from the Dolphins. I really respect that. And so I'm happy to see that. So I actually saw this morning, Greg Rosenthal of NFL Media and Around the NFL he's doing his projected starter series right now. And he had a line about the Bills that encapsulates how I feel about them, but I feel the opposite about the Dolphins. The first thing he wrote was, if the goal of this Bills offseason was to get Josh Allen more help, Buffalo's effort feels incomplete. Again, who's been saying that for several months here? But so, like, Josh Allen's job has gotten more difficult. Josh Allen's the best quarterback of the AFC East, right?
Yeah.
No, like, we hate Aaron Rodgers, but, like, if we're talking who they are today, Josh Allen is the best.
No question.
And so he got no help. Oh, here's a rookie tight end. They historically do super well. Josh Allen, here you go. And you have to compete again. Like, you can argue their biggest competition in the division is the Dolphins, because the Jets are still, you know, kind of a TBD thing. And they added Jalen Ramsey. Like, that really strengthens what one of their largest weaknesses was. So I really, really think that that was so early in the offseason that, like, it feels like we forgot about it.
Right. Well, yeah. And let's not forget they added Vic Fangio too, right?
Like, that's right.
A pretty darn important piece to this defensive puzzle that really needed to be fixed, right? That's the reason why this team skidded so hard at the end. And obviously the two injury is part of that too, but defensively they were a disaster last year. And so getting Jalen Ramsey, getting help to one of the guys who I think remains to be one of the most underrated corners in the league, Xavien Howard, who just had to deal with a rotating cast of characters on the opposite side of him. Now he's got Jalen Ramsey. That's a pretty good 1-2 punch. And if your offense can continue to be as explosive as it was, that means the opponents are going to be throwing the ball a lot. And now you got two lockdown corners, I think, on opposite ends. That it's going to help your team a lot. So I had a list of five in case we needed to go a whole full hour on this alone. And so Jalen Ramsey was on my list too. So I think that, again, I'm going to return the compliment here, RJ. I think you made a good pick here.
Wow. We might have to dip deep into the list. We'll, of course, hear what Rachel has to say about this as well. Rachel, remember that I cared about your opinion more than Jeremy when the time comes. But who, in your mind, Jeremy, and your estimation, is in the best place to succeed?
Oh, man. It's got to be Javon Hargrave.
I thought about that, too.
Yeah.
That felt too chalk, so it, not exactly creative
is,
on your part.
It is a little chalk, but it's also the most right answer. Sometimes you guys just deserve to get fed the most correct answer here. And Javon Hargrave wasn't in a bad situation in Philly, right? They had a really good deep rotation of defensive linemen, but you go from that to the 49ers, who have just exactly that: Eric Armstead, Nick Bosa, Javon Kinlaw, and I think they have the best defensive line coach in football in Chris Kocurek. So you know, you go from contender to contender. You if you can't beat them, join them in that situation for the 49ers. Javon Hargrave is just, when you see that happen, a defensive lineman, especially of one of his caliber, go to a 49ers team that is just a machine of developing productive defensive linemen already, you get frustrated. You're like, why? How can the rich continue to get richer like that? But it's smart. It's the reason why the 49ers have been competitive for the past half decade here, is they continually reload defensive talent. And you really don't see that a lot in the NFL, right? It's usually about stirring the offensive drink, you know, getting new fresh bodies in at wide receiver, getting new running backs, getting new quarterbacks. The 49ers are zagging in a way that's really interesting, and it's worked for them. Obviously, you know, championships have been a little bit elusive, but if you're constantly making NFC championship games, I don't think you're going to complain too much about that strategy.
I am a big fan when the team does not rest on their laurels on something, when a team does not say, like, oh, we're good here, like, we don't need to. I love when they're like Herb Brooks in the movie Miracle, when they're like, again, more, you know what I mean? Like, just, yeah, we want all of the talented, you know, interior defensive linemen. We want all of the problems on one team, and we'll kind of figure that out. And I felt sort of that way, just to put it in, like, through my own lens, when the Cowboys drafted CeeDee Lamb, because everybody was like, sure, well, you have like Amari Cooper and Michael at the time, like, and Michael Gallup, like, why do you need CeeDee Lamb? Because because you can never have enough. Right. Like, why would you ever want to stop adding good things? And so, yeah, it's a bummer that they're really, 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 really good. And that they did that. I mean, like, speaking of the Cowboys, like, they have thwarted the Cowboys, like, because of that specific skill set. And so I love that they're willing to spend. I love that they're unafraid. I hate that they are capable of just, like, you know, finding random dudes to play. Like, Sam Darnold's going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL this year, and it's going to be, like, the most frustrating thing in the world to watch. And you and I will be upset because it's just not fair. And so the 49ers feel not fair. So that was a really good answer. I think we should both do maybe one more positive one.
Sure.
Like, so we can, like, we started off really negative with the Thursday Night Football thing.
Yeah.
So I have one that is also going to upset you, if that's okay.
Okay, go for it.
So I'm going to, like, approach my answers differently in some senses. I think this player is in a position to succeed individually at the very least. Like this player will thrive from a statistical standpoint. I'm not saying this winds up or ends in a world championship or anything like that, but DJ Moore, I think, you know, the Bears made sure to ensure that DJ Moore was a part of the trade for the number one overall pick. He finally has an able quarterback. Felt like he arrived at the party a little bit too late in Carolina. Never really got, you know, to experience the fun there. And, like, who else? Like, who is taking targets from DJ Moore? You know what I mean? And we know he's a talented wide receiver. We know he's very good. He can benefit from Justin Fields' running ability. He is, I think, one of the more underrated receivers in the NFL. I think he is going to realize for Bears fans what the hype was for Allen Robinson. I don't know if you ever shared this sentiment as somebody who hates the Bears, but I always thought it was so dumb that people would be like, free Allen Robinson. Free. He chose them. Like, Allen Robinson signed with the Bears in free agency when he left Jacksonville. I hate it. The people would be like, free Allen Robinson, free Allen Robinson. Like, no, he signed up for that. It wasn't like they drafted him and he was stuck. But anyway, my answer is DJ Moore. I think he's going to thrive. I wouldn't be shocked if DJ Moore, like, leads the NFL in receiving. But, like, in a way that, like when Eddie Royal led the league in receiving. You know what I mean? It was just like, there's an enormous amount of volume there, even if it doesn't translate into wins for the Bears as a team.
I'd push back a little bit there. I think it was a great move for the Bears, first of all. I think it's more of a value to the Bears than it is to DJ Moore, because this is a run first team. This is a team that put a lot of resources into the run game. They I know they didn't re-sign Montgomery, but they added, I think, two guys in free agency, maybe even one through the draft. I don't quite remember, but
they drafted Roschon Johnson.
That's right.
Right.
And I think they did sign two free agents. And so, like, they, you know, that graphic went up this week or last week, you know, the Bears are the only team that doesn't have a 4,000 yard passing quarterback in franchise history. So I don't know if DJ Moore is going to see a ton of, you do bring up the good point that there's not, you know, a great amount of other options there. So in terms of target share, he's going to see a pretty heavy percentage there, but in terms of just overall passing game, I'm not sure they're going to be overly reliant on that. And that's still something that Justin Fields has to prove, right? He's been electric with his feet. He's been one of the most difficult guys to corral, but as a passer, he's still kind of unproven, and he has a huge arm. We don't know how accurate it is. We don't know how, and again, part of that is maybe he just didn't have the tools, and now he has one more tool here, and that sort of part of his game is going to develop. But I just don't know that DJ Moore is necessarily good. Like, I think maybe top 10 receiver, top one, I think he's just not going to get that many targets because the Bears like to run the ball.
That's fair. But he's like, look, if you have to draft people to finish as number one in receiving the NFL, I think he's a good value. Like, sure. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's in a potentially solid position for that to happen. Okay. So I've got my second. Now you need to round it out.
Yeah. I'm going to go Baker Mayfield. Like, who deserves this sort of opportunity? Like, who looked at Baker Mayfield and what he did with Rams and be like, he's going to get a starting job next year?
Everybody did. I think
what has he done to earn it?
Nothing. No, but I'm saying, like, it felt very predictable. That's my point. Yeah. Like, when that happened, it felt like, oh, like, somebody is signing up for this experience next year. Like, that's my only point.
But
I'm with you. I'm not saying, like, it's a good idea.
No, this is the opposite of what you just did, which is it's a bad move for the team, but a great move for the player. And plus he's got Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Russell Gage. Like, that's a pretty decent receiving core. I know those guys are maybe a little bit past their prime, but they're more than capable. And Baker Mayfield just gets to step in there and be like, okay, I get one of the best wide receiver trios in the league. That's pretty cool. Cause I just came from a mess in the Rams that have just fallen apart and I've done nothing to earn it. And what the Buccaneers aren't going to draft a guy until like the third round to bring in any sort of competition. Like, this guy is on the absolute last leg of his career, and this affords him an opportunity to maybe, like, bounce back in some sort of meaningful way. I'm not saying I think he's going to do it, but he couldn't have asked for a better situation to kind of springboard his career back into relevancy, because he certainly hasn't earned it.
I would say, like, to, like, encapsulate your point, like, he, you know, are you a Friends fan? I know you, like, haven't ever seen anything ever, but have you seen Friends?
I've seen Friends. I'm not a fan of Friends.
So there's an episode of Friends where Chandler is getting, like, him and Ross are going to some event, and so they need to get suits, right? So they go to this, like, suit place. I think they go to Rachel's work, and she has suits that they at Ralph Lauren, like, loan out to celebrities for, like, red carpet premieres or whatever. And so Chandler tries one on, and he's like, this one fits. And he's like, who last wore this? Like, what celebrity wore this to, like, whatever red carpet event? And she's like, oh, Val Kilmer wore it. And he's like, holy crap, like, I have Batman's suit. And so, like, the episode winds up getting weird, and it's not Batman suit, but whatever. But anyway, my point is, like, you know, he's stepping into a suit that is, like, tailor-made for Val Kilmer at this point.
Right.
And so Baker Mayfield is stepping into a suit that was tailor-made for Tom Brady.
Right.
right. Like Tom Brady, like, designed the Bucks in, like, his image. And so, like, now you get to go be that guy. Like, yeah. So to your point, like, if you have to get a suit that isn't tailor-made for you, like, that's a pretty good one to wind up.
No question. I you know, that almost makes me want to watch Friends, but it doesn't.
I tried. Okay. So we were riding some positivity, but I do think we have to end here, and it is a bit of a negative thing. And then we'll do MFWP and everything. This actually happened before we started recording. We didn't talk about this, but we're going to talk about it anyway. So, you know, sorry, Jeremy, full well about the suspensions that happened in the wake of the NFL's gambling policy being violated by various members of the Lions. There was, correct me if I'm wrong, one member of the Commanders that was involved in that as well at the time.
Right. Yep.
So Adam Schefter tweeted out, and everybody did, on Monday morning, his exact tweet reads, after five players were suspended in April, the NFL is now investigating a second wave of potential violations of its gambling policy. Sources tell ESPN's David Purdom. So, it does feel like there could be something here. Like, yeah. I don't think Adam Schefter and this would all be shared if, like, there wasn't a shoe that was going to drop. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's interesting. It's kind of terrifying. And I don't know. I read that whole piece from ESPN, and it's interesting. It kind of lays out, like, where the NFL stands with gambling and how they've been able to track these betting slips and by location and apps and all that sort of stuff. The thing that I find the most interesting, though, is, like, the line that the NFL is feeding everyone, because a lot of people are intrigued, like, okay, I understand why you're against betting on NFL games. No one wants that. It threatens the integrity of the game and all that sort of stuff.
Right.
But why, when you are so entangled with these betting companies, are you against players betting on non-NFL games? And the line that they're feeding people is, like, we want to protect the integrity of the game, which, again, that doesn't really affect people sitting, you know, in their hotel room on an away game betting on Saturday night football in college football. So that's the circle that I'm having a tough time squaring. And obviously we don't know what these new set of allegations, whether they are betting on NFL games or betting on non-NFL games in NFL facilities. But that's, I mean, they're trying to walk a tight line here, and I'm not sure they're doing it well. And if another set of these suspensions comes down, it's going to be a bad look.
I mean, did I tell you my purple pants rule thing? I did, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if your job's like, I'm a firm believer in that. So, like, if the rule is you can't bet on, you can't open that app, right? Like, or whatever, like, in an NFL facility, on an NFL road trip, whatever, like, those are the rules, right? Like, you sign up for this life and the privileges that come with it. Obviously, there are cons as well as pros. And so I get that. Obviously, it's hard to know, like, and to judge anything without knowing, like, what it is, to your point. But I do think it's a gray area to some degree, which is why, and like, I'm not ever supporting the NFL on like anything, really, because they're the man, right? Like, corporate greed and like capitalism and blah blah blah. But like, I do understand why they feel like they can make no exceptions here, because the moment it becomes like any kind of loose or whatever, like, there's so much, again, like, just looking at their position here, there's so much money for them to make in the gambling world, that the moment that any kind of integrity becomes compromised, the moment it becomes like, well, you know, X player, you know, made a single game or same game parlay on whatever in the locker room, it's like, well, how do we know? You know what I mean? Like the open-endedness is is like threatens the, again, call it integrity, call it like equilibrium, fairness, which is ironic given the way we started this episode. But like, I get that. I get being worried about that from a business standpoint, the way they seem to be, which is why they're so harsh on this. It would be nice to see them, you know, treat more serious things that we think are more serious with that same level of discipline. But this threatens their pocketbooks, which is why they're so, you know, stern about it.
But I think when we talked about this last time, the conclusion we came with is they need to just get rid of gamble. Like, why is it okay to gamble in your car, but not when you're parked in the facility parking lot, right? Like, if
so you're saying they should tell, like, if you're an NFL player, you can't gamble on anything.
Yeah.
That would be easier, yes. I guess, right. To your point.
Yeah. I mean, it would be clear to the players. Cause I mean, if the second wave comes out and another 5-10 guys are suspended, clearly there was a miscommunication problem, right? Like if that many people broke those rules, you can say Purple Pants rule, you got to learn the rules, but at some point the teacher becomes the issue here if that many people violated a rule. And I understand it's a new rule and there was always probably going to be bumps along the way here, but if you're that worried about, hey, we don't want any sort of bad looks here with gambling, get rid of it completely. And players aren't going to like that. I understand that. And maybe that's part of the pushback, is you want to please the players. Maybe the NFLPA wants to fight for something like this. I don't know if that's that important to them or not, but it just, to me, it doesn't make a lot of sense to say you can do this, but you just can't do it while you're here, especially when it's not like, I mean, obviously you don't want the guys doing it in team meetings, but that becomes a discipline issue with your own team, not a legality issue. So I don't know. To me, it's just this whole, well, you know, I guess I just don't think it makes sense on an individual level when it comes to enforcing this rule only in certain places.
It does feel like moving goalposts a little bit.
Yeah. Right?
Like, and that's unfortunate. And so I think we would like to think that if we were NFL players, we would be like Jalen Ramsey and DJ Moore, like dudes who are getting gassed up and talked about on Monday Football Monday. But like, if we were NFL players, like, I think a good personal policy would be like, just don't do it.
Right.
Right. You know what I mean? Like you're safest if you don't do it. We'll see. Anything else you want to add? This is like, now is your time to say anything for Rachelle to put into her mathematical formula to compute her overall answer.
Free JMO.
Wow. Rachelle, will you please join us? And first of all, Rachelle, I hope you had an incredible weekend. I hope you had just every single day and every single moment of it was wonderful. I hope your morning was great. I hope you have had, you know, you've been hydrated and fed. And I hope you're just feeling swell this morning.
See, RJ tries to butter you up here, but who's the one that actually had like this long conversation, thoughtful conversation before we even went on air?
Rachel, who talked about your hometown, your city with you and a musical that is associated with it? Remember that. You know what I mean? Like that's all I'll say.
I care about you when the cameras aren't on. Just saying.
Rachel, first of all, your overall thoughts, Thursday Night Football, player you think is in a good or bad position to succeed, coach, whatever, blah, blah, blah. The floor is yours. Give us all that. And then, of course, MF Dumble MVP.
Yes. I also want to start saying that I love just the fun conversations that you guys had in the start of the show, like talking about like the window seat, you know, like what's your favorite seat on the flight and how you
what's
like,
yours
window seat as well. It's really, really, really hard for me to sleep on flights. And so I have to be like leaning up against, you know, the side of the airplane. So window seats for sure. And I had also never heard of a Juicy Lucy before.
You're not missing out on much. It's
ignorance is bliss in this instance.
Yeah. It's really not that great. It's like the fact that that's like Minnesota's thing is really depressing for Minnesota.
So. Yeah. Yeah. So that was a fun fact. But for my points today, I want to start with the best. I think my best is stronger than my worst. And I actually have a player that went to the Detroit Lions in CJ Gardner-Johnson. I think that this was a really, really good offseason move for him. I think he's going to be in a place to succeed, just in addition to the other offseason moves that they've made addressing the secondary with Emmanuel Mosley. And they also have Cam Sutton, two players that came from very dominant defensive systems also. And so I think that that's going to be a really good place for him to succeed. He's a very like passionate player, a very dominant player. He could be like a leader in this secondary room for some of these younger guys. He's just an absolute dog. And I was looking at the Lions defense from 2022. They definitely need a lot of help. Like one of the worst defenses, finishing 30th against the run and 29th against the pass. And so I think that CJ Gardner-Johnson, who at one point led in interceptions this past season, could be a big boost for them in their secondary. And so I think that, yeah, that's going to be mine for today.
Yeah. He rejoins Aaron Glenn, his former position coach as well. So
yes,
former Cowboy Aaron Glenn.
That's right. That's
Texas right. Aggie too.
But that's, so, I mean, yeah. To rejoin him in a contract, like it's a one year deal. It could, you know, he could really get paid next offseason too. So I think that's a smart choice there.
Yeah. So that was my best. My worst, I could see this going really well or panning out really, really bad. Odell Beckham Jr. to the Ravens. I could see that, you know, I want to see him thrive because that's my team. But at the same time, just knowing that he's reached 1,000 receiving yards so many previous seasons, like I think 5 or 6 times, looking at the Ravens offense with Lamar being a mobile threat, similar to how Jeremy was talking about like target shares, they already have Mark Andrews, who we know like leads. You know, that's Lamar Jackson's number one guy. And then he also just got Zay Flowers. And so I could see it going well, but at the same time, Odell Beckham Jr., just the star that he is, if he doesn't get enough shares, I could see him getting very frustrated, being very much of a diva. And so that might not be the best place for him to succeed. So that would be the worst. So yeah. And then based on you guys' points today, I really, really loved the point about Juju Smith-Schuster to the Patriots. I'm not a fan of him. I'm sorry. And I think part of it is because of the antics that he's just too much of a flashy, the offseason TikTok, everything to me is a little bit much. So I just personally am not a fan of him. So that'll be interesting to see how he is with the Patriots. I think that the Ramsey to the Dolphins was a really, really strong one as well. And I also had Javon Hargrave to the 49ers. So that was my number one, but you know, I had to find something else. But based off today, wide receiver DJ Moore to the Bears was very strong. And I thought that Kellen Moore to the Chargers was actually kind of interesting. And so based off of just every single one that I've liked today, I'm going to give it to RJ because I liked all three. The Baker Mayfield to where do you go?
Bucks.
To the Bucks.
The Bucks. Tampa Bay. I was like, okay, yeah, sure. But I really liked
Jeremy RJ. Jeremy tried to get too cute. Played with fire. He bit into the juicy Lucy and didn't let the cheese inside cool and burned his tongue.
Wow.
I want to thank Rachelle, first and foremost, because she's the best. I want to thank Jeremy for putting up a strong fight in a losing effort, I might add, because I won. I want to thank Jalen Ramsey, and I want to thank DJ Moore, and I even to a lesser degree, because I don't love the move, want to thank Kellen Moore. I just want to use my platform that I've been given here, my, you know, the teleprompter's telling me my time's running up, to say NFL, don't make Thursday Night Football available for flex scheduling. We don't want that. Nobody wants that. No human being does. That doesn't work at, I don't know what Amazon's physical address is, but you know, we all are a fan of Amazon. The Rings of Power was a great series, but still, leave Thursday Night Football alone. We don't want to see this. So that's my take. Wow.
We can all agree on that.
That was really special, right? That was a really just great moment for the show, for all of us.
It was.
Wow. Let's leave on this note. Jeremy, I think I've asked you this before, but give us something that you promised to eat. Actually, that you promised to cook and eat this
week. To promise to cook and eat this week. I've been craving some jambalaya. I've made jambalaya once or twice before, and I haven't had in a while. So maybe we'll go some jambalaya this week.
Look at that. We learned all about you lived in LA for 9 years. I didn't know that. You know, big jambalaya fan. Rachelle, just so you know, one time when Steven produced this show, I did ask Jeremy that question. He said lasagna. And I said, okay, Jeremy, please send us pictures. He did. So if he doesn't send us pictures of the jambalaya, it means he likes you less than Steven. Because he made it a point to send Steven pictures. So if you don't get pictures of jambalaya this week.
All right.
You need pictures. Just like, done. You
know. I just did do a grocery run. And I did not include sausages, so I got to go back. I'll do it.
That's the
kind of devotion I have to this show.
Like we said, terrible feelings when you got to use the bathroom on the plane. You got to get everyone, you know, to get out of your way. Another terrible feeling is like, I didn't get one of the important things at the grocery store. You know what I mean? So, wow. Shout out to Baltimore and to Jeremy and to Jambalaya.
Thank you.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.